The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another Friday edition of American Desis. My name is Arjun.
I'm Akash.
How y'all doing? I always say that and then remember no one can respond to us live.
Yeah, but it's nice. It's a nice Southern thing. You know what I mean?
It is a nice Southern. I started watching Friday Night Lights again. Ugh, God.
Is it good? I couldn't get into it. Someone tried to make me watch
really?
It. Yeah.
I'm stunned to hear that. Yeah. I actually am stunned to hear that. We're going to quickly move into shit that you guys care about, but this is stunning to me because it's Texas.
Yeah, I know. I think it was just too dramatic. Like, I don't know. Something about it. Also, I think it was a girl that suggested it to me, and I was like kind of talking to her, and I just didn't want to give her any credit to be like, that's a great show you put me on to. I think that's really what it was.
Well, I think you should try an episode because it's literally about Texas and football, which are two things that I know you love dearly. So I would give it a shot. But we're here, obviously, to talk about our episode that we dropped on Tuesday, I think it was, about Varun Leila.
Yeah.
Fascinating dude. You know, it was nice to get on somebody who's an agent, you know, coming from a different side of things. And it was also really interesting that there was, you know, so many things that were still through lines that we've heard so many times before.
Yeah.
There was a couple of things that, I mean, stuck out, but I know there was one that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about how he identified. You remember when he said, mm-hmm. I identify as a black nerd?
Of course.
So there's this thing, Andrew Schultz, a good friend of mine, whenever he's on stage, if there's like a really light-skinned person that doesn't look like their race, like let's say they're Middle Eastern or whatever, and they look white, the person says, I'm Middle Eastern. He goes, no, you're white. And his point is, it's a joke, but his point is, you are what you are identified as. Like, you can identify with a thing, but people treat you, like, if you are a Mexican who looks white, people aren't racist toward you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They don't treat you like a Mexican. And he got treated because, at the time, there was no way to label Indians back then. He just got treated like a nerdy black kid. Mm-hmm. So that's what he ended up identifying with. And that's always just interesting to me, like, I don't know, maybe other people's perception of you can also shape your own identity, but it's also kind of a good point. You kind of are what society decides you are to a large degree.
Well, I think that's what you're saying. It's the conversation between the two, how we identify and then the way that society identifies with you. And
yeah.
I think that one of the advantages in being white and being in that power in that way is that there's a neutrality that's given to you by society. Like, society doesn't look at you in such a specific way because there's too many ways to look at someone who's white.
Right.
Whereas if you look at someone who's black, there's like three things that come up for you. Or if you look at someone who's Indian, there's three things, or I don't exact numbers here. But, you know, so I do think that that's, but I agree, your identity is definitely shaped by how people see you as well. Right?
Yeah. I just thought it was an interesting to, like, thing to dissect. I don't know. It's just, what is your identity really?
Yeah, I mean, I know. It's funny because I think about that from the standpoint of, you know, I'm a very compassionate person in general, and I would say default towards the idea of nurturing, but I can definitely be a dick at times, for sure, because I'm human, so I have other colors within me, as we all do. But let's say the person that meets me and I'm just in a really shitty mood that day, or they say something that particularly triggers something that, and I'm like an asshole to them. If that's the only interaction they have with me, they are going to think in their head, there's a chance they're going to think in their head, oh, he's just an asshole, right? And so then all of a sudden in my identity is an asshole to that person.
Yo, but semi-related tangent. I was at GNC yesterday, and,
Because you up in your fitness game.
Because I'm getting sexy. And I was talking to the employee, and I was just trying to joke around with her, but she just kept taking it horribly and, like, getting really, like, unnecessarily angry. And then at one point, I was just like, you know, I said this drink had too much caffeine for me or something like that. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I go, this got, like, more than a cup of coffee. And she goes, don't you drink coffee? I go, no. She goes, you don't? And I go, yo, you're being very confrontational right now, like, with a smile on my face. And then she goes, what's that supposed to mean? And I go, I don't know that. And and then she just walked off. And then the other employee recognized me. And I was like, you try to joke with people and they just don't take it well. And then I just left. But that guy's going to go to that girl and be like, you know, he's a comedian, right? He's like joking around. He's on TV. And then she's going to tell all her friends what a dick I am for the rest of her life because she had this interaction with me. It's really just crazy how much the word spreads.
It is crazy. But it is, you know, there's a twofold to that question, right? So then it's our responsibility. Once we're aware that our identity is shaped by the, I wonder if we, it's our responsibility to then, when we meet somebody, we hold space for the idea that they're not just that one color. Right. There's that whole idea of like first impressions are the most important. I mean, maybe we need to start getting away from that.
But it's also super fun to label. Like, that girl's going to really enjoy hating my guts for the rest of her life. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. But I mean, fine, jokes aside, but I just don't think that that's, but it's not true. And it,
no,
like,
it's
what
not
it does,
at all, but it's
not
it's
true
easy.
At all.
It's a simple it's thing easy. To do. You
it's
compartmentalize
sure.
things.
I know. I guess I'm just, we all need to stop going for what's easy, really. You know what I mean? Well, and I think that when it comes to identity and like when we're identifying people, I think it's really important that we don't go for what's easy because how we identify somebody. It is how we relate with them, right?
Yeah.
You're going to relate to somebody who's an asshole very differently than you're going to relate to somebody who's you see is struggling
super
or
well.
Something.
I'm going to relate to the asshole super well.
I was going to say something else about identity, but I can't forget it. So let's move on, and then maybe I'll
actually tied into identity. Let's get into that story of when Varun approached
the
Indian
girl. Dorm? Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's also kind of weird now that I'm talking about it, though. The fact that he was so, like, disgusted that the Indian organization approached him, like, dog, what you think was gonna happen?
I think it was he was so limited for so long. I'm wondering if it's like, damn, I come to this new school and I'm still like only this.
It makes sense.
I don't know, but I have similar reactions to him at that time about that, and it's actually interesting. We're gonna come back to this later because I have a question about that relates to that. But let's talk about the girl because that's really what you want to talk about.
Yeah,
right now.
Sad. That was a sad thing, and I see that a lot.
Do you?
I think I do. Yeah.
Because I don't see the active. When we were talking about mascotism, I think I saw some of myself in that when I got to college, and it was like, whoa, why are there others that are like me? Now I'm losing the thing that makes me special.
Right.
Because I grew up in a town where I was the only of that. And that became a thing that it's not even, I don't know if it was mascotism because it gave me something that I could like feel self-worth about. Like, this is one way in which I'm special. So I don't know if that's the same thing as mascotism, but I recognize that. But I don't think it was this. It didn't stop me from interacting with people. It didn't stop me from saying like, yo, let me be friends with somebody. I was like friends with people in college. It was something that I was uncomfortable a little with, you know? So, but this seems like an extreme case. Like, I'm not going to say hi to somebody. Do you see that a lot?
Listen, here's the thing I'll notice. If I see an Indian dating someone who's not Indian, a lot of times at shows, the person who's not Indian will approach me after the show and be like, yo, man, really funny, whatever. And then the Indian will literally not even make eye contact with me. Like, they'll just look away from me. Like, they're just like, I don't even want to. And it's like, yo, what do you think that is? I can only read that as I'm so embarrassed by my people that even when someone is complimenting someone who looks like me, I can't handle that. Because I just hate us so much, or myself so much. Maybe hate is a strong word.
I don't know.
I'm so insecure about what I am.
Sure, but there's other pieces of that puzzle, right? They chose to come to see your show.
Nah, but you don't know. I'm talking about, excuse me, I'm talking about club shows where it's like a bunch of comics and I'm one of them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that has to do with like, oof. I don't know. I'm stumped by that. That's really surprising. I have not experienced that. so I am, or if I have, I've been unaware of that. That's really fascinating, and that is sad.
Yeah, buddy.
That speaks to me of like, well, and obviously like, or maybe not obviously, but it will definitely speak to something they're dealing with, right? This is their shit.
Yeah.
And maybe it is. Maybe it's that like, I am other, and that's what makes me special, and identifying with the other in this interesting way that like, I'm stumped. I'm going to be honest. And maybe I'll think of something and it'll come to me, but a community, this is where we love for you guys to jump in. So if you have some thoughts, please bring us in with that. I'm glad he did it though. I think it was cool that he said it. And I will say, I think it's kind of amazing that woman had that awareness. I would be interesting to know what happened with her. You know what I mean? I'd be interesting to know like what, and maybe it was said in the episode and I forgot, but that, if she then started talking to more people, or if he saw her hanging around with more people.
No, it wasn't said in the episode. We can ask him though in part two.
The other thing that was really fascinating, the thing that was really struck me, and it was just, there's this app called List App, which is a cool, whole like new kind of social media thing that's coming up where people make lists. It's strange, but people enjoy it. And someone asked me to like list 10 things I like about the South. And I have a different relationship with the South than you do. And so it was a hard thing for me. But it was really interesting. I like the way he kind of made me rethink about the South when he talked about how people are really, as soon as you are part of their community, they've got you.
Right.
And that was just a nice way of understanding the South in a little bit more specific way than just simply they're segregated and racist.
Right.
I'm not saying that that's ideal. I will say that because it is a question of like, why is your community so small? But they said, I was really stunned that 30 people went to that diversity night. You know, I mean, people crave, I think people at the end of the day really crave exposure to things. And I think that that's such an important thing that we can give the world is exposure. And I think that the internet has done that. But the internet is so big that you still get exposed to only the things that you choose to. And that's why school becomes important to me.
Yeah. Plus, white folks ain't got no culture. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
give
true.
Them a little bit of that. They could go crazy. What?
They have a...
What are all these colors doing here? I'm so used to wearing gray all the time and khaki.
Oh, khaki. Chinos. I don't know anything about fashion. I'm moving on. It's so funny. We brought this agent on to talk about, you know, part of what we were really excited was talking about the business from that side of things. And of course, in our first part of the episode, we didn't touch on it at all. So we're excited for you guys to get to listen to it on Monday or Tuesday when we drop this part two, and you can hear all the stuff that we talked about, because there's really fascinating stuff that we talk about from an industry standpoint. Let's jump into the community and see if we got tweets. Did we get tweets?
Why don't you read the email? I'll check the Twitter.
Okay, I'm going to read the email. We got our first, well, not our first, but like, yeah, kind of like our first critical email, which I appreciated. Long-time listener, first-time commenter. I wanted to say that I loved it as long-time listener chose the only time to comment was a negative thing. That felt really South Asian to me. And I was like, that's what's up. Hello, Arjun and Akash. I've been listening to your podcast since the beginning. I love the topics and discussions, .. Usually, that's what I imagined her voice to say, her or his. I'm going to keep this person anonymous, I think. I wanted to comment on your most recent podcast. I was a little disappointed about the weird tangent and the consequential argument. I couldn't even finish the podcast because who really wants to hear an argument? I mean, I do, usually. To me,
America? Yeah, I mean, presidential debates?
To me, the conclusion was pretty simple. The podcast is about a certain ethnicity / culture, and so of course you'd talk more about police brutality against minorities. This doesn't mean this issue is more important or necessarily needs more attention than teachers abusing their power by having illegal relationships with their children. Anyway, hopefully you will both read this. Like I said, I usually listen until the complete end, and I'll still listen to your future podcasts, but this most recent one was a bit of a flop for me. Frowny face. Well... person, I don't know why I chose to keep you anonymous, but I am. I guess I'm protecting you from
because
the vitriol
of
our long-time
dog.
Fans, you know? Our fans are just going to come at you about, like, what? No.
First of all, let me say, you stupid. That's my response. You stupid.
He's joking. He's
and that's
joking.
My second response. Arjun, you have the floor.
First of all, thank you. We welcome all this kind of thoughts. I don't think that the podcast, that's interesting. Yes, the podcast is about just South Asians in the United States, but I think at times we touch on stuff that's so universal that Akash and I like to just talk about them as themes and just kind of have fun with that and have a debate. Yeah, and that's pretty much the only response I have. We're going to do that occasionally where we will talk about things outside of the spectrum of just from a Desi lens, and I hope that you will be okay with that. And hopefully, you know, you'll come back and comment on stuff that, you know, just sparks your mind other than ways that are that you don't like us or episodes. But hopefully we'll be and I do appreciate that you're going to keep listening. I'm glad that you didn't get turned off. That's nice.
Yeah. No, but seriously, here's the thing. We're going to talk as humans, and me, if something interesting comes up, I'm going to talk about it. And that was an interesting thing that in that moment, I was like, this seems kind of crazy that everyone focuses on this and ignores this. And I know we try to focus on South Asian things, but especially, you know, I don't ever want to keep a conversation so rigid that it can't have a tangent, even if it's a long one.
Right. That's the emails that we got. We also got an email from Pallavi, longtime listener and
guest.
And guest. And should I jump into that, or do you want to read our 3-star review also?
Nah, we're good. We're okay. I mean, if you want, I'll pull that up. We got a 3-star review, guys, which is still better than most of you who aren't reviewing. I mean, maybe it's not. Funny. Maybe I don't want a bunch of 2-star reviews. Maybe we don't need
No, we don't. We want that 5-star, baby. But we work that 5-star.
It's all good. We'll take the opinions, you know.
Let me read this article then. All right. Racial slur against USC students leader sparks campus debate. This is in the LA Times by Teresa Watanabe. Lola Fajanimi and Precious Noah. Oh, wow. I can't pronounce these last names. I'm so sorry. We're both A students in high school. Once they got to USC, the African-American women were repeatedly asked if they were athletes and told they probably got in because of affirmative action. So when they heard that a USC fraternity member had cursed the school student body president, Rini Sampath, with a racial slur and thrown a drink at her last weekend, they said they were appalled but not too surprised. It goes on to talk about what they want, and Sampath says she hopes the incident will launch candid conversations about campus relationships. She said, the story is not really about me. The 21-year-old senior of Indian descent, said in interview Wednesday. It's about what the greater community goes through on a daily basis. I hope this creates a national conversation about race relations on campus, because these kings don't happen just at USC. Since Sampath wrote about the incident on Facebook on Sunday, she has received thousands of supportive messages as far away as India and Denmark.
Jesus Christ.
Her post has been shared by many people and luminaries like Juno Diaz. Some students said they had never experienced racism and found USC to be a diverse and welcoming environment. Officials have worked to increase campus diversity over time. Its 2014 student body was 33% white, 18% Asian, 12% Latino, and 5% African American. So this is there's more in the email. It says, you know, in the article, she did say that when she ran for USC student body president, she said racist messages were posted on social media. A vote for Rini is a vote for Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. That's funny.
So anyway, this is the article, and
oh god.
Here, let's talk about
what
it.
What a tragedy. She had to take a shower.
Yeah, I think that it's I think that we also need to focus that this is, I don't know how to respond to this truthfully. Yes, no one should throw a drink at you. And no one should throw a drink at you and call you a racial slur. I mean, it's just not what we need to do. It's not great. And I don't think that it's okay for people to just diminish what you've brought in because, you know, the color of your skin makes you think that they were athletes and that they didn't get in because of their merit. I mean, I think that's all fucked up. I do. That's my thought.
Yeah, but do we really care that much?
I think we need to so that we can go away. I mean,
I don't think it's ever going to go away because those guys probably are just relatively hateful people. And they're going to hate anything. But when you bury all this stuff, here's what I had. I'm actually writing for this show that potentially will come out about race. And it came up in this brainstorming session that maybe Donald Trump was made possible by burying all of our racist feelings and emotions and what, and we're not allowed to have any opinions anymore. And then this guy comes out who just says whatever, and it's so like, oh my God, thank you. I've had to bury this for the last 10 years. Here's this guy who's probably playing a character, honestly, but it's like, well, look, someone's saying something. Thank God. I think burying everything is not good. Listen,
I agree with that.
You're going to go through life and things are going to happen to you. If you think that getting a drink thrown at you is worthy of national news, you do not need to carry this nation forward. I'm that disappointed in this generation to think that is like, oh my God, we have to stamp all this out. You will never stamp out ignorance. You will never stamp out anything. There's always going to be negativity.
Right. It is. It does feel like, I mean, listen, I've had many racist things come at me, and yes, it was worthy of conversation. I think that it was worthy of conversation, but it does, it seems a little, it seems like a lot that this is that this much attention.
When you got called a poop face, that hurt your feelings, right?
Yeah.
But imagine if you got called a poop face and then you're getting interviewed on the news. I can't believe this guy called you a poop face. He compared your face and the color of your skin to human excrement. How dare you? And then the president is like, hey, Arjun, come hang out with me. Wouldn't you be like, this is a bit much?
Well, I think I would. But I also wanted to say, I was like, you know, this is one person that did it. And you got 9,000 people that said support. Like, let's remember that this is – that there are more people that are – against this behavior than there are people doing it. And that's not to diminish it. And what I'm saying is not to diminish, right? Because anytime we talk, that's another thing, that we're in a space when we talk about race right now, if you say anything against it, you're like, you're diminishing it. That's not what I'm doing. I think it's fucked up. I think it's fucked up. I do. But I guess there's a West Wing episode. I go to West Wing a lot when I don't know what to say because, or how to say it, because Aaron Sorkin in that show said a lot of things better than I can. But there was an episode in the first season about proportional response, right? And, basically some country blew up an airplane of the U.S. military. And the president, first-time president, never read National Military, wanted to, like, carpet bomb Damascus. Like, he just wanted to go. And the joint chief of staff, like, the general that was in the joint, was like, yo, we need to calm down. And we're going to hit highly specific targets, and the president was like, this just doesn't feel good. And I think that this is relatable in this way, because there's a proportional response that's required for this kind of act. And maybe the proportional response is never going to feel good, because what you want is for it to be eradicated, but maybe Akash is right. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't eradicate it. I think that we need to still have the conversation about how we help those people. Like, this conversation should be about, like, hey, how do we talk to that person that says it so that we can better help them be better? Because we know you, Rini Sampath, are good. And you've experienced some hurt, and you will persevere through it. You're the student body president. You have facility to do that. This person that threw a drink at you. Now, how do we engage with that person to say, hey, when that drink is thrown at me, to be able to, what we talked about, jackal language, right? That to be able to look at that person and talk to them and say, hey, why did you do that? That didn't feel good. And see if we can gauge them. Because that's where things are going to change. That's how things are going to get better. When we engage the things on a direct level and say, hey, man, that hurt. I did not like the way that felt. Can we, like, why did you do that? Now, it's like, and it's like that story when you read in the negotiating book. That's the conversation that needs to be happening, in my opinion, about this situation.
Also, to kind of add on to your point, Charlemagne has an interesting theory that racists are people with mental illness. Racism is a mental illness. Maybe that's oversimplification, but understand a lot of these guys, like Dylan Root, wasn't just racist. He was mentally ill. and it manifested itself in the form of racism. So there's always going to be racism because there are always going to be people who aren't right who manifest their whatever this way. Are you
here's
just
the reason I
shout all of them down? That's your goal?
Well, here's the reason that I, and again, this is one I'm saying, shouting people down is not going to help the situation. I really don't. I think that the only way to solve it is with education and compassion. But it's interesting that you say mental illness. I disagree with that because I think racism is taught.
No,
right?
but there are psychiatrists. Mentally ill people can, it will manifest itself in the form of racism. Dylan Root didn't hate black people as much as he was mentally ill. That's just in my opinion. And I think that's a conversation we should at least explore as a society before we just decide, nope, racism is awful. Yeah, yeah, we get that. Maybe this kid is also mentally ill and that's how it manifested itself. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, we should probably talk to a psychiatrist about it. But to me, the conversation that we need to have is how do we empower people and prepare them to have these conversations with people so that if Lola gets repeatedly asked if they were athlete, how do you can engage that person and try to stop that? I don't know. Maybe that's not the right way, but that's an idea I have. I don't have anything else to say about this article because there is something else I wanted to talk about, and I don't know how much time we have left. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this article?
My old school solution, get tougher. Go ahead. Continue.
So I've been meeting with publicists, talking with them about, like, potentially working with them as the show's coming out in January.
New money.
Yeah, new money, baby. And new money that's going to go quickly when I start hiring a publicist. Yeah. But it was interesting because I was thinking about this, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on this because I thought you'd be interested. I know I talk often about how I don't like business and the business side.
You could have just stopped it. You know I talk often. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, that was good. You stymied me.
You know I talk often about business something something.
Right, but I actually am quite, I understand the business and I understand the need. And so I'm looking at publicity because I want to capitalize on this opportunity to then be able to work more. That's the goal.
Right.
The more exposed I am, the more. So one thing that I was talking about with these publicists and one thing is that I want to position myself to be one of the guys, have enough exposure so that when people are thinking about new projects they're writing and they want someone who's South Asian, that they think about me. Right. And it was interesting because then I got into a headspace where I was like, but is that limiting me? Right. Does that limit me in a way? And so I was like, ultimately, I want to transcend, because here's the thing. We talk about leading men. Right. There's this idea of like leading men. And that's the character. That's the kind of the type that usually gets thrown out for me is that I'm a leading man kind of person. And so I want to position myself that when they think about that, they don't just think about Dev. They don't think about Manish. They don't think about Rizwan or whoever else they think about, right? I want to be a part of that conversation. But then I want to transcend that to where they, when they think about, like, the leading man of, say, you know, any movie, they can think of me. And I was curious what your thoughts are because about that next step, the transcending that and how you – maybe you don't have any thoughts, but I was curious.
No, I want to be the Indian.
Always. And you want to stop there.
I don't want to be the token Indian, but every role I get, I want to be Indian. And yeah, it would be dope if they were just thinking of a leading man and they're like, oh, let's get Akash because he would be – I mean, I ain't going to play no leading man, but like a big role and they're like, let's get Akash because he would be dope. And then I get to be – have an Indian name and be Indian. You know what I mean? Like not some brown guy.
Which is something that I've – Right, which is something that it's exciting about The Magicians because I don't know if I'm allowed to give it this way, but I've incorporated my heritage into Penny, you know, because the character was written, you would probably assume off the page that he was white, but I'm not. And the writers and I have been in great conversation about, like, how do we honor this new part to the story?
Right. Right.
And that's been really exciting. And they've been really great about that. And I'm so grateful because it hasn't been a fight. It's been a really great conversation. So your issue is just like you want to be Indian in the roles. But like, so you're actually, I thought you would have issue with the idea that I wanted to transcend that just Indian thing to be.
To me, it's annoying if you're like, I just want to be, I just want to play Michael in a movie. Why do I always have to play a guy? Why do I always have to play Nile? And then it's like, all right, man, because your name is Arjun. That's what it would have been.
Right. That's not what I'm saying.
If you want to be like Denzel is a leading man, but he's never not black.
Right.
You know what I mean,
that's exactly. And I don't want to. So it was interesting. Like, there was part of me that felt conflict about, should I be doing that from the jump, or should I be taking advantage? It almost felt like I'm kind of exploiting my Indianness in some way to say, well, let me make sure I'm positioned in this way. I mean, it's just savvy business, truthfully, but it just felt a little weird. You know, like, let me make sure that at first they're like, he's the Indian guy that we should go to, so I can position myself that way to then be able to transcend to be like, oh, well, he's just the guy.
Here's the way, I say this to all my Indian comedian friends. It's like, there's a lot I don't necessarily get along with, but I don't think it's any competitive thing. But I do say, even amongst my Indian comedian friends, we're competitive with each other because this is the first circle you get placed in. And we're going to be friends and we're cool. But we all know at the end of the day, we're kind of competing with each other because this is the first circle you get placed in. Then once you become the best Indian comic, it becomes your name gets mentioned with the best comics. Russell Peters' name gets mentioned with the best comics because he's the biggest Indian comic. Or maybe Aziz, whatever. But point is, like, that's just the first circle you get put in. As an actor, same thing. First circle you're going to get put in is with these other Indian actors.
But
you're
going
to be in
funny.
That conversation.
And
then
here's
from
funny.
There, the circle gets bigger.
But white folk don't have to deal with that.
No, white folks immediately have to compete with the entire world. It's actually a real burden. There's no niche they can just carve out for themselves. I say this all the time. I cannot think of anything harder in comedy, particularly now, than being a white male.
Okay, but that's comedy. I think in my world as an actor, I think it's actually still advantageous.
There's way more roles, but also think of the level of competition. Like, you've just named most of the known Indian actors.
Yeah, but do you know how many Indians there are that are trying at this game right now?
Sure,
I don't know that the competition is that much. If you look at percentages, I don't think it's that different.
Oh,
so
dog,
I don't
we
really
are
think
overrepresented.
That,
We've had this
that's
exact
not what I'm
call,
saying.
Statistic.
Hold on a second. That's not what I'm saying. The percentage of how many people get roles versus how many people are competing, I think is the same as for white folk.
Okay,
like,
but
I don't
if it's
think...
the same, there's no advantage. If it's the same, it's the same.
Okay, that's an interesting point.
You know what I mean? I don't, you know, in general, I don't ever like adopting this mentality of things are harder for us. Not only do I think that's weakening, I also think it's untrue. If anything, things are easier for us. If anything, the way people are checking for diversity now, that opened things up.
It's a right time for us. Yeah.
Yeah. And we are, people are noticing us.
But it's
our
just
name,
an interesting thing. It's just an interesting thing that I first have to get, like, what you said, it sounded like you first have to defeat that circle to then get placed in the circle above.
Maybe it came out that way. I didn't necessarily mean that, but once you get noticed in that circle, then, and maybe it is, for black comics, it's probably all the same. Chris Rock, when he came up, was competing with Martin. Matter of fact, I remember a story of him and Martin. Martin opened for him, Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence crushed.
Yeah.
Chris Rock couldn't follow him. Then Chris Rock was competing with Martin Lawrence in a certain sense. Once he got bigger than Martin Lawrence, then you're competing with the next guy. In the same sense that, and not even on a racial level, Michael Jordan was compared to Julius Erving. Then when it became clear he was better than Julius Erving, is he the next Julius Erving? That got answered. Then it became, how great is he? Then you compare him to all the other greats. You're just always put in anything you do that's remotely competitive. You get put in circles, and then once you get to the front of that circle or that line or whatever, you get put in a bigger one.
Well, let me ask you the question then. This brings up this question for me. When you're talking about it, it sounds like that crabs in the barrel thing. Now,
no, the idea of crabs in a barrel is I'm going to pull you down. So you can't get out.
Okay.
That's
right,
crabs in a barrel. If I see a crab getting out of this bucket, another crab will pull him down because we're all going to be miserable together.
And that doesn't happen. And the competition that you guys are talking about is, just for clarity standpoint, is, hey, you're doing so well, I need to lift my game up.
And not even that. You do as well as you can do. I'm going to do as well as I can do. I'm not mad at anything you get. I might be a little like, man, I wish I got that. But I'm not like, yo, we need to see how he can lose this show. You know what I mean? If I like you, I want you to do well. I'm just going to try to do better. It's like I always say about my wife. I want my wife to make as much money as possible. And my brother, so we don't make this a gender issue. I want my brother to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. I want to make millions and millions and millions and $1. You know?
Right.
As a competitor, that's what it is.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so that's just an interesting. It's just an interesting thing I've been thinking about. Like, and I'm curious to see how it's going to play out in the next several months, in the next 6 months, 6 to 8 months, and like, because you think about it, it's like, it's that question of, do you want to be, when they talk about you, like, oh wow, you're like a hot Indian guy, and it's like, well, is that what I want, or do I want to be a hot guy? Like, is it, because I am, yes, sure, I appreciate the compliment either way that I just gave myself twice, but it's that question of, I don't mind being a hot guy who's Indian, but being only the hot Indian guy is like, wait a minute, can I be hot out of that spectrum? Do you know what I'm saying? Or the smart, or do you know what, whatever,
yeah,
any
but
qualified
again, I just, to me, that's like, if I took it that way, I would be like, is that my own insecurity? It's like...
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I don't know the answer.
This person is giving me a compliment, and I'm just searching for the racism in the compliment. It's like, yo, just take the compliment, dog. This person is trying to be nice, and you're just making them an ignorant person. Like, maybe they are, but whatever. They complimented you, and you took it a certain way. You perceived it that way.
That's an interesting thought.
Now I look at that. My first thought was, if someone said you're a hot Indian guy, I'd take a lot of pride in that. Not because Indians aren't hot or whatever, but hey, you notice I'm Indian. That's great. I like that.
But you've heard those stories of like those people that are like, oh, I never really thought Indian people could be hot.
Who cares? Now they do. What you want? Listen, but people are going to say these things. Why do I take that a certain way? Why do I care? Oh, I just want to win.
I like that thing of what you just said is now they do, which is great. Let's move forward from what they just said and hopefully and help them be see like, yeah, great. Now that's where you were. Now you're here. Now you'll be open to more ideas. I like that. Look at you dropping some fucking positivity.
Bruh, you know they say like it's 90% of everything is just your attitude toward it. That's really what it is.
These stats that you're coming at today, 90% seems like you're coming up a lot today.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I didn't even realize that. But there's success is 90%, perspiration, whatever. Your whole life is your attitude. How do I take things? And I'm not saying I'm always positive or I'd never freak out. We've seen it happen on this podcast.
No, because you need to. You're not, yeah.
In that situation, look how much better off I am being like, all right, well, now she does. Then I can't believe she would. What am I doing to myself with that mentality?
No, that's, yeah. No, I'm with that. I'm with that 100%.
All right, man. Well, whenever you guys need knowledge dropped, you come to me. You know what I mean? When you need jewels, this is where you come. You holler at your boy.
When you need a long paragraph that might have something contained in it, you come to me. When you need a 3-minute monologue for your next audition that has like that comes to a jewel.
Yeah. Arjun is good for the gray space.
I'm all about the gray. Guys, we'd love to hear your thoughts. It's Friday. That means that y'all are going to be listening to this over your weekend. And we're going to be dropping our episode on Monday or Tuesday of next week. It's going to be part 2. We hope you enjoy it. Please keep spreading the word. Please keep enjoying. Please keep sending us your thoughts. Please keep. That's all I'm saying.
Rate
please
the keep podcast. Review the podcast. Holler at us via Twitter on our website, AmericanDaisiesPodcast.com. Write a blog. Y'all got all these opinions. The whole world got opinions. And then we put this podcast out and suddenly everybody quiet. Get on.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll catch you in a couple of days. I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash. God bless.
4 Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit 4 Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.